Hello everyone, and welcome to Death Stranding Weekly. I am speaking with you from a very still pretty cold Canberra. I'm sort of all sort of snugly rugged up, and I'm looking forward to cracking on with the rest of the show with you all today. I hope you've all been having a wonderful day, and if not, I hope things get much better really soon for you and yours, and that watching or listening to this helps improve your day somewhat. First and foremost, as always, thank you for the privilege of your time in tuning in. I truly do not take it for granted. And so today I'm going to be providing a bunch of commentary and analysis of the latest Death Stranding happenings, starting with the Reddit, which I am making my way over to right now. There's been a good amount of people's thoughts and theories, which I need to credit both to the whole premise of Death Stranding and again that level of engagement that the Reddit community shows, and the amount of sort of unique thinking as well that I get to sort of see on a daily basis whenever I bring up my phone. It's truly quite extraordinary. So again, right off the bat, before I even shout anyone out, thank you all for just really going there with all your different sort of theories and things. So so let's crack on. So if I can pull up my favorite, we'll have to start first of all with something a little bit just a little bit lighthearted before we go into some of those as we know them to be pretty deeply existential and sort of far-flung sort of theory crafting. Yoji Shinkawa and Kojima looking like absolute badasses in their latest kind of shot there. It always bears diving into these things because it's from, Kojima's Instagram and presumably his Twitter as well. First of all, obviously, they just look, they're slaying it up with the glasses and everything. Very interesting t-shirt. Now, what that is it's a Perry Rodan t-shirt, and with a quick Google, that will reveal the following. So Perry Rodan. Now, what it reminds me of actually is if you have ever seen was it the Ramones Rock and Roll High School? There's a pretty surreal, spoilers obviously, make sure, if you're planning on watching it, just skip ahead for a bit. But there's a pretty distinctive scene where I think the school headmistress or whatever, she's all like really against music, popular music and like loud music, and she tries to show the effects of rock and roll on mice, and again in this sort of surreal comedic situation, you see a mouse that's been exposed to like rock and roll, and it's like this tiny little mouse is like wearing a leather jacket and it's got its hair all to one side, and it's like doesn't like, again, just like the Ramones. So it's I thought I'd mention that there. The reason why is because I just see this like kind of anthropomorphic rat, looks like it has a jacket on there. So Perry Rodan movie Mission Stardust. So a team of astronauts are sent to the moon to rescue an alien who is seeking help to save her dying race. They are however attacked by a force of bandit robots. So that is very interesting. That's the first thing that came to mind. That came up. So on IMDb, Mission Stardust again, it says this film is based on the popular pulp novel series Perry Rodan. The story begins with the spacecraft Stardust being launched from. Sometimes my Google likes to give out. Okay, looks like I'm not going to be able to read the rest of that synopsis. Thanks, IMDb. Actually, you know what? Let's jump into the Wikipedia here, which always helps, I think. First of all, extremely, extremely worth diving into. I mean, I'm seeing a lot of imagery of like spacesuits and people like walking across the surface of planets. And in fact, the cover of this Perry Rodan definitely like it gives me vibes of the Kojima Productions logo movie. So very interesting here. So no, now I really feel like I'm a bit OCD, so I kind of want to find the rest of that sort of Stardust synopsis with what I was reading here. So that's plot summary, there we go. Yes, the film is based on the popular pulp novel series Perry Rodan. The story begins with the spacecraft Stardust being launched from Earth to explore the moon in an attempt to discover new deposits of a new element, much more powerful than uranium or any other source of energy ever discovered. The plot takes a split approach, with the Stardust being taken over by a mysterious force, causing it to land on the dark side of the moon and out of contact with Earth. Meanwhile, on Earth, an organized crime boss has planted an agent among the crew of the Stardust to attempt to take the energy source somehow, if it is found. Soon, Perry Rodan and his crew discover an alien starship which has had to make an emergency landing on the moon, due to technical problems. The ship is commanded by the alien Crest and the beautiful Captain Thora. They are informed that Crest, one of the last great scientists of their dying civilization, is very ill. The Stardust's doctor is asked to examine Crest, and he does, and discovers Crest has leukemia. There is hope, however. The doctor knows of a researcher on Earth who has developed a cure for leukemia. The crew of the Stardust are brought along in a smaller but very capable emergency craft to Earth in an attempt to enlist the researcher's aid to cure Crest. What they don't know, however, is that the spy has informed the crime lord about the mission, and a trap has been set to capture Crest and the Arcanide ship on the moon. There's a lot of true 60s style action as a general who discovered the pilot ship on Earth attempts to capture it to no avail. Afterwards, Major Rodan, that's spelled R-H-O-D-A-N, and his co-pilot seek out and recruit the fake researcher who promptly attempts to take over the Arcanite ship. The crime lord is defeated, however, with the aid of the robots that the Arcanites use to run the day-to-day operations of their ships, and the real researcher is rescued and cures Crest. The final segment has Major Perry Rodan rescuing Thora, who has been temporarily captured by the crime lord. At the end, the very militant and strong-willed Thora falls for Major Rodan's charms, and the two races, after curing Crest, look forward to a long and trusted partnership. That's from Rich Sensale via the IMDb for Mission Stardust, 1967. As is our wont when we're looking at material, even tangentially connected or even possibly being in the vicinity of maybe hinting towards what's in Death Stranding, I couldn't help but, again, just extrapolate from, Kojima's affinity for this 1967, 60s, 2001 Space Odyssey. I saw a little bit of, connective tissue there. And again, what Kojima has, he's relented a little bit with not the narrative, but the insistence that Ludens isn't related to Death Stranding. He's relented a bit on that, which opens us up more and more towards involving Ludens somehow. Obviously, so far we've only really seen dream sequences and mostly Earth-based apparitions and settings and characters in the trailers and so forth. The real kind of sort of out there, outer space aesthetic being mostly centered around Ludens, who is, as far as we know and as far as we're being told, the mascot of Kojima Productions. But I would not put it past the story of Death Stranding, especially with the notion of interdimensional beings, being introduced into our world or into our reality, into our normality, that we would see some sort of outer space shenanigans. They would have to have come from somewhere, and I don't think, maybe a twist that they do have later in the title is that these creatures appeared from just maybe a bunch of researchers messing around with time and space and the fabric of reality and all that. All of this might genuinely be concentrated on Earth, and these creatures just like Lovecraftian horrors, they just appear like in our reality, like phasing in and out, and we recognize that they simply have access to our reality now. No outer space shenanigans needed. But figured I'd touch on that because it is pretty interesting, and it's always cool to kind of investigate these things. Let's have a look. Yoji Shinkawa wearing something like, this is the word acronym on his t-shirt, I don't know what that means. Anyway, bunch of stylish people. So thank you to user BATZI88, so Batsy88. So quickly, as I always like to do when I am referencing people's material, I like to, again, just show my appreciation for people contributing. So if I can find my little thing that I like to put, there we go. Your theory and post was featured, discussed, and credited to you on the 33rd Death Stranding Weekly. So thank you so much to that person. You're awesome. Thank you. Too easy. Wonderful. So here we go. All right, so let's crack on. I'm going to set myself the ambitious task of just recapping next to everything that has been sort of posted and reviewed and discussed. I'm realizing more with the Death Stranding weeklies that so much is just, again, in a really applaudable way by everyone within the Death Stranding Reddit community. Wherever it's from, Tumblr, Twitter, it tends to end up on the Reddit anyway. So I know I initially started out saying that there would be like 5 sources, but I'm finding the Reddit to be just so vivacious and so full of activity and theory sharing and all that. And yeah, it's like the Reddit has become this organism that just naturally just funnels everything from around the web and just from around the world into one location. So I'll still occasionally just sort of peer outside of it just to see if folks have missed anything, but we have a very on the ball community. So credit to all of you listening from that community, and if you haven't been there yet, please do head over there. It is the number one location for all forms of Death Stranding speculation, etc. So, and big shout out to John Nick Reddit, who is the mod over there. You're a legend beyond legends, my friend. Here we go. Okay, let's have a look. So, interesting t-shirt Jeff Keighley got from Kojima Productions. You know, it looks like just it says medic, and it has this this is from post user FARSHNOODLE, so Farshnoodle. It does look a little bit different from the sort of I can't remember what that sort of, it's like Hermes's I'm not sure what that sort of thing is, but yeah, it's like the staff of Hermes that represents you know, healing or something. I'll have to educate myself on that. There maybe a few Greek scholar people are just pulling their hair out being like, don't you know about this kind of very central you know, icon to the symbol of, yeah, like doctors and such. But yeah, I vaguely recognize it. So interesting. Medic, you know, I wouldn't put it past you know, Kojima to include something like you know, You had your Drebins, you had your Mei Lings and everything. So a medic character in Death Stranding could be cool. And maybe this is a mini tease of someone we'll see who has a medic-like role. Here we go. If these walls could talk. Now, this is from... So anyway, as I've mentioned when I just wanted to shout them out. So thank you so much, user Farshnoodle, for that one. Coolly, so onwards to user Metal... Metal... Metal Anajak, 14 hours ago, and this is Jeff Keighley posting, if these walls could talk, and then they've given it the title of a 1996 film about three pregnant women, which is interesting. I believe that's possibly maybe a reference to a film. Oh, this walls could, is it? Yes, it is. Thank you. So thank you to user Cul-de-sac M8 or dash M8 and Dr. Actel, which is a fantastic username, who shared the IMDb for that one there in the comments. So really, really interesting. And all that really is alluding to, honestly, listeners and viewers, people tuning in, is that a lot is going on over at Death Stranding HQ, aka Kojima Productions, and wouldn't we all like to know a little bit of what's being made behind those walls? Which I wonder if in terms of how this studio is laid out, maybe if I have the chance, so one day, if I'm lucky enough to visit the premises one day, at the moment, if I had to kind of guess, if I was in this hallway right now, I would say that you know, at the end of this hallway you can peel either left or right, and behind those walls literally are people working. I don't think it's just some hallway, but again, you know, who knows. It's set in Japan, so I think you know, with space being what it is there, you know, it's, I mean, I went to Japan recently to speak with Mr. Kyle Card, and yeah, things were pretty tightly packed there. It's sort of a thing that is known about Japan, that you know, yeah, you have to be conscious of space. So yeah, literally, there could be people literally behind the walls of this corridor working on their computers and doing cool stuff. So thank you to user Metalenajak. Thank you so much. Sounds French. Now we have user TTA 2013, Kojima-san on David Lynch. He was making Mulholland Drive when he was in my age. I was a bit nervous of my never retire policy, but now I'm relieved. So I mentioned Cronenberg and Kojima collab at one point earlier in one of these entries. Without a doubt, user Pupil Eater put it best. I would effing die if the two of them made a collaboration, and as would I. Or if people are noticing, hey, you're not swearing. I'm figuring just to see whether or not I can get through on without like consciously doing it. It's like I'm big on just like emphasizing things with profanity. That's fine. I don't mind. But just to give it a test, and also literally, it's just to see if you know, iTunes, they detect swear words, and then they put an E for explicit after you've recorded it, and uploaded it, and they'll be able to detect. So I'm just going to see, you know, challenge myself to see if I can go through one without swearing. Although something may surprise me enough or get me riled up enough to break that, so we'll see. So thank you so much for this. It's very self-evident. I don't think I can add too much to... essentially what is pretty self-explanatory, that a collaboration between Kojima and Lynch would be indeed extremely worthwhile. Probably, you know, that level of concentration of iconoclasm and non sequitur or tourism, where conventions are being warped, broken, reforged. I mean, you know, one person invented a genre, which was the stealth genre. Another person, in many ways, and this has been cited, this is beyond just me, basically legitimized the TV medium in the field of drama. So basically created the to-be-taken-seriously TV drama. Definitely come at me if you think, you know, there was stuff that sort of was around before Twin Peaks, but again, it's been discussed in... you know, it's been cited as like the thing that made TV worthy of being given enough, paid the same level of respect and have the same level of quality as film that I can recall. I remember that seeing that discussed somewhere when I was Ray and I, girlfriend and I, were watching the old Twin Peaks season 1 and 2, and I remember diving into some interviews, and that was one of the first things out of the interviewer's mouth when she was interviewing Mark Frost. And she said something along those lines of like, you know, that Twin Peaks has been lauded as this series that has brought legitimization and artistic like validity and seriousness and to this medium, which previously was just like soap operas and comedies and kind of light on the intellectual side kind of fare. Like Twin Peaks was risky, risk-taking, you know, and pioneering in the same way that Metal Gear Solid was. So I could see. Goodness me, I would not put it past Lynch at one point to take the path of Lindsay Wagner, who, by the way, again, Lindsay is way outside of doing anything connected to, yeah, as she's mentioned, like violence and guns and anything like that. Lynch is very much, he's you know, with his Transcendental Meditation Foundation, he's on a different plane of just making things out of the baser level things, like just your standard schlocky kind of like action kind of violence, all that stuff. He's not interested, without a doubt. Anyone who's seen the Twin Peaks season 3, I only have 3 more episodes to go. I think maybe even just 2 episodes left on the Twin Peaks season 3. But anyone who's seen any amount of Twin Peaks will know that the kindredness is real between him and Kojima for sure. And then if I needed to say it, I probably didn't have to, but, you know, the PT connection with, you know, the baby in the sink and Eraserhead, and there's a lot of shared DNA there. So it's, yes, I said it was self-explanatory, but I ended up just finding myself riffing about it anyway. It would be fantastic, needless to say. So if I'm not tripping over myself, thank you to user TTA2013 for that one there. Okie dokie. Let's crack on to user November Novice, as spelt as written. So, idea for a Death Stranding mobile game. Now that we are 4 trailers in and we still have no grasp on what Death Stranding is, and people even seem to be somewhat put off by the last trailer for the lack of content and context, I figured that Koji Pro, as in Kojima Productions, could take the step of releasing a mobile game. Now hear me out first. Think what Fallout Shelter was for Fallout 4, or PT for Silent Hills, rest in peace. Something that is bite-sized but tied into the universe. My idea would be to create a minigame which has you box up stuff. Sort of like an inventory management system where you distribute Sam's baggage in the most efficient way, choose which containers, bags, or hoverboards to use. I just love, hoverboards. That's totally what they are. I just hadn't taken that moment to sort of, this is me editorializing, by the way. I hadn't taken the moment to, like, what's the name for those things? I was like, floating platforms. But yeah, they basically are hoverboards. Maybe use a grid system like Resident Evil 4 for the insides of the containers and then try to hook it all up on Sam's exoskeleton. Then, like in a Polybridge, let Sam do a test run to see if your baggage management holds up and he manages to traverse a small area of terrain. Let me know what you guys think. Okie dokie, so first things first, now because of the way that I'm recording these things, I can actually tell when abouts I'm going to have shouted you out, so posting it there, thank you for contributing, and you've been credited, of course, absolutely. And I'm just gonna put timestamp is or 20 minutes and or 40 seconds. Smiley face. There we go. So I'll start doing that from now on. Sorry if people have wondered about. I won't say. I'll just say approximately, because sometimes with editing and including the intros and such. Approx 20 minutes and 40 seconds. Coolie woolies. Nice. So I remember covering this a couple of entries ago about what a Death Stranding mobile game would look like. I remember thinking, I've had my qualms with Destiny. I'm leaning slightly back into it now that I know that they're going to be making books, which is, long overdue. But again, it's you have to vote with your money, and I threw my money at that straight away when they said they were going to start making physical copy grimoires and such. But one of the things I remember being very intrigued by with Destiny when it came out was the app, and I loved that idea of, like, oh, if you're on a commute or something, you can do stuff later on your phone that when you come home, it'll all your changes, all your sort of fiddling around or whatever, will be reflected in the game. And also, I think Naomi Kyle from IGN at one point, she did like an ad or something that it just clicked with my. It may call me an old fogey, but the idea that you can buy something on your phone. It was like an IGN ad of some kind, and she just said it super deftly. I was like, oh my God, I not only have done that, but that is seriously a thing we can do, which is you buy something on the store on your phone and you immediately press like download to PS4 and on your phone at work or whatever, and then later that night it's there waiting for you fully downloaded. It's space age stuff to me. Call me an old man as much as you like, but that's amazing. And I could see something similar being integrated into Death Stranding, not only because it is essentially first party and Mark Cerny and Kojima are like tight, they're bros, at least techno bros, technology bros. So I could see him, chewing off his ear, talking his ear off or something. Anyway, like Kojima going up to Cerny and what asking him, hey, I'm doing this thing where I'm saying that the game has already begun, and I see people again, not directly probably. I don't know if he directly mentions the Reddit in this hypothetical little scenario I'm building, this vignette I'm building for you all listening in or tuning in. But yeah, say he mentions, I've noticed a lot of communities coming up. What if we gave these people who are on their phones, on the Reddit, on the Twitter, everything, an environment, or at least like something where they can start literally building in. Building something or contributing in some way leading up to the game, leading up to the release. And my immediate thing that I thought of was something where speaking about the limbo realm, that you'd be able to like collect items, obviously zero transactions or anything like that. It would probably be tied into your PlayStation Plus account, so you would probably need PlayStation Plus to play it, but again, that doesn't court as much controversy as microtransactions. I don't think Kojima is gonna touch microtransactions with a like 68-foot pole for sure. So I could really see that something where, you're on your bus or whatever, you're on top of your mobile data, you can spare a couple hundred megabytes on just like diving in as Sam into the the limbo realm of after death or anything. And here's another riff that just came from, again, this really great evocative post. Was what if when we turn off the PS4, that's literally Sam going to sleep. So what if, as we're playing, when you pause the game, just or when you turn off the game, it's implied that that's when Sam is sleeping. So when Sam sleeps, say for example. Obviously, because you can't be in two places at once. You can't be playing your PS4, Generally, at least you can't be playing a PS4 at the same time as being on your phone, or at least being in this, again, hypothetical app I'm talking about. But what if, say, you're playing Death Stranding in the morning, so you've played it all night or whatever, and you have to go to work, go crazy with the coffee or whatever, or your Red Bull or whatever. But yeah, at one point, you need to put the game down. So a little sequence plays or whatever, or even if you were to turn it off from the power, next time you log on, it's him waking up in wherever he was, maybe coming out of this tent that I saw this tent in an advertisement actually, that you can like just press the top and there's like this gas release thing that it erects the tent. It looks like a normal tent totally. It doesn't look like some wacky thing, but it'll bring up the tent in like 3 seconds or something. It's incredible. So I could see, especially with that rifle device that I see Sam have in the fourth trailer, I believe, how like quickly that unpacks. Like if you had an unpackable tent that way, and then immediately he just goes to sleep, and it's maybe like chiral guarded or something, and it has that same technology as Lea Seydoux's. And again, this would just be a gameplay feature, so I don't think you'd be penalized for pausing or quitting the game. So it would just be something aesthetic in a, but what it would imply is that you're asleep, and because of Sam's dooms, which at this stage, at least myself and the rest of the Death Stranding speculation community are assuming, it has something to do with his ability to come back from the dead after the explosions and such, and his otherness in general. And what I could see an aspect of Doom's being is that it is related. It has an impact on your dreams. And then you take it from there. You're asleep, but then you're on the phone, and you're on your commute, or you're on your way to work, or you're on your lunch break, and you are as Sam in his sort of Sam dream reality, going and fetching items, wandering around. Maybe even that could be a method. I kid you not, folks. This I'm not putting this past Kojima, where you're at work or something, and then literally a global Death Stranding community-wide event happens while you're just doing something, and an actual genuine story. Like event happens, or like a plot changing thing happens randomly on your phone, and the opportunities for fourth wall breaking with push notifications with an app is, it's almost too much. I wouldn't say I would be disappointed if he didn't do it, but because again, I'm sure he's just focusing on the craft of the title itself. But if they were to integrate something, and if he did want to take the fourth wall breaking to the next level of it's getting to the point where it's again reconnecting people. And what do we associate in some ways? Sometimes it's isolating, but we associate smart devices with staying connected and sharing things. It's like, oh, look, and you see the teenagers nowadays. I sound like such an old fogey now, but leaning over each other's phones, showing each other things on their phones. So what if this is what Mads Mikkelsen and Norman Reedus have been alluding to, that like. Literally, it will actually bring people together through technology, where there's that mutual puzzle solving. And say, I get a notification at my work, and I have no idea what this new story development means, or this new limbo section of some kind of puzzle thing happens. And I go up to them, and I'm like, just again, seeking help, or whatever, like, or again, jumping on the community with Death Stranding, which I'll just put this out there. I don't think it's too crazy, too out there to say. If you're looking for, and also I'm not sponsored by Reddit or anything, I'm just profoundly grateful for the medium of Reddit, and also for the Death Stranding Reddit, which I consider to be one of the best, if not the best, community. So like intellectually diverse, so open-minded. So there's some obviously the occasional kind of playful. Okay, I'll just say it. By non-explicit rating on this episode, the shitposting, that's fine occasionally. But by and large, listeners, viewers, people tuning in, honestly, it's a really, really worthwhile community to go to. And what I'm saying this for is that go introduce yourself there, become a part of it now. The game has already begun. It will be the look. It will be. I'm sure it will be the prime location, unless short of Death Stranding, Kojima Productions announcing like a dedicated app or something. Even so, I still think the Death Stranding Reddit is going to be a central location for all kinds of like puzzle solving and PT. Like the same thing happened with PT, people gathering together on Reddit to solve that, and so the very similar. Oh, similar, but also far outstripping anything that happened with PT, because again, this won't be cancelled. It won't be limited to just a playable teaser. This will be a fully fledged title. So the big TLDR for that is. Get in early, head over to the Reddit, introduce yourself and start riffing with people, because we're building a nest right now, including these entries here with Death Stranding Weekly, Interactive Artistry, a nest of people connecting, and all these you know, these, if we're using the analogy of a brain, all these neurological pathways will be created, these highways of just people connect, like these connections will be in place, and by the time the title comes out, and it'll be really, really great to be like, here we go. What we've been building over the past 3 or 4 years, now it comes into play. Let's go all together. Too easy. Ha ha ha. Fantastic. So let's go. So thank you once again to user November Novice. Very, very a meaty subject there. User XXX Johnny GXXX. So Johnny GZZ. Something is cooking up for the Game Awards. Very simple, presenting to my friend, so I'm assuming that this would be... there's a a little bit of a cheeky first comment there. Someone saying it's going to be the release date. So again, it's important not to jinx these things, but you know what? I honestly would not put... I'm gonna dare to dream on that one. I'm going to dare to dream. So let's... Who's this person here who says that? Let's have a look. That would be user GONCALOX, Gonalox 500, so I'm upvoting you, my friend. I would definitely not put it past Kojima to want to drop that. He says, or he, or she, or they says, I hope it's a release date. Fantastic. So I'll just pop here before I jump into my little mini predictions here on the TGA happenings. So your theory and post was featured, discussed, credited to you. And the timestamp is not 20 and 40 seconds, it is 31. And 19. Emphasis on a prox. You know, again, the edit, who knows what'll happen. But that's, it's always good to say a prox. So, listeners, people tuning in, watching, I'll say this. Every Game Awards with Death Stranding has outdone itself. We've seen the first one, obviously, that it appeared at, which was the second trailer, the Mads Mikkelsen. Again, that was a massive reveal. Honestly, it was tremendous at the E3 2016 when Norman Reedus was revealed. He's a very well-known figure from film and TV, you know, Boondock Saints and The Walking Dead. And then we're looking at... I'm sorry, but like Guillermo del Toro, who is now officially an Oscar-winning director, who is a very well-known director, again, the WTF factor, oh, sorry, may as well now, the what-the-fuck factor of Guillermo del Toro disappearing with a child, and it's this thing that, as you know, Guillermo del Toro to be this like person who appreciates monsters and everything, and like you wouldn't put it past to see, for example, in his house, Bleak House, he's got these jars of creatures and stuff, and like to see this baby in a jar, it's like, oh my god, it was recognizably Guillermo, it was him, you can associate the imagery, but and yet it was so other as well. Circumzenithal arcs, crazy tendril planes, but then out of nowhere you get Mads Mikkelsen, who... I'm talking Marvel movies, I'm talking James Bond, you know, with Le Chiffre for, you know, Casino Royale. So seriously, that was incredible when that came out, and that like it just introduced to the wider world, an even wider world than The Walking Dead, which is already massively wider. You know, James Bond, and all respect to Walking Dead, James Bond, a little bit longer of a history, wider reach, wider knowledge. Mads Mikkelsen, it was an amazing reveal. And then you had the freaking man himself, Norman Reedus, showing up at 2017 The Game Awards on stage with Kojima. He's going to do... no wonder he's pitching this thing, because he's cheeky. He has these friends now. You know, he has a Mark Cerny, as I mentioned before, obviously with the tech side, but Geoff Keighley is his partner in mischief. And so we're going to see that. It's going to happen, and it would not surprise me that he's got something crazy. Maybe just... you know, baby-shaped balloons dangling from the ceiling or something. I don't know. That's outlandish. Of course, that won't happen. But something is cooking up for the TGA. And to put a wild prediction to it, because hey, let us not forget, listeners. If you look through the Chronicle, now that I've reformatted, retitled, refocused everything here with Interactive Artistry, you can go back and at one point you'll hear me say, Norman Reedus on stage, and it was before it happened. I guarantee you, listeners, and it happened. So I will make a bold prediction here. We're going to have Lea Seydoux on stage, Lindsay Wagner on stage. We may even have the entire cast on stage, but I will highlight Lea Seydoux and Lindsay Wagner to be on stage there with with Kojima. Maybe even, I probably even, yes, Guillermo del Toro is probably going to be there, you know. I don't know at this stage if he's got any big kind of filming stuff planned for that time of, I'll have to look into it here, but at this stage, you know, I kind of like to think that I keep up to date with the Guillermo del Toro's kind of activities there, with what he's like, if he's got any sort of filming scheduled for the December kind of time frame, which is when Game Awards is happening this year, roughly as it's happened for the previous years, you know, roughly the 6th, 7th, 10th or so of December this year. So yeah, he could show up there, but you know what, I'm gonna go all in. So this is straight to you, both to the poster user Triple X John AG Triple X, and also user G0 and Calox 500. So Gone Calox 500. I'm gonna jump in. It's gonna be release date. What? Yes, and that release date is gonna be September 2019. That is my release date prediction. Fantastic. So safe to say we'll be seeing more of Death Stranding at the Game Awards. Amazing. 18.7 million streams. More than, so thank you. Once again, before, I like to say before and after. So before and after, thank you, Triple X, Johnny G, Triple X, for that one there. Cracking on to user, again, Batsy88. Safe to say we'll be seeing more of Death Stranding, TJ, without a doubt, without a doubt. Here we go. Just, that's an open and shut one. So, and for that timestamp, we're looking at 36. Booyah, booyah shaka. Let's crack on to some theories. So, because there's a lot of, again, shout out to user Navaid-S, Jeffers, Kojima Productions, and in for a big meeting planning for TGA. It's very, yeah, definitely. That's open and shut. I'm going to give Navaid a little shout out because he or they has chimed in a bunch of times, and I want to kind of show my props there for that particular Redditor. Amazing. Too easy. Yes, and yeah, it just further adding to what I was saying earlier about how it's no doubt that that's why he's there. Big props to Jeff for just being the globetrotter that he is, and I'm flying to Japan. I flew to Japan from Australia. I don't know how it, I mean, it's a bit closer for us to go to Japan than for the US and then for Canada at least. So I have flown from Australia to the US. It's a long flight, so again, these people are like superheroes to me. So big ups to Kojima and co, and to Jeff as well. Okie dokie. So I'm just upvoting away on things that are really awesome. Terrific. So let's go. So user Metal A Najak. It's just a interesting Metal A Najak. Could anyone identify what subspecies this human is? And this is referring to a skull that Kojima Productions posted on his Instagram, with a hat, with a Kojima Productions hat on. Okay, so people who find any random things anywhere on the internet and post, is this Death Stranding like? Kojima's Opithecus, all these funny things here. So we finally have a really awesome reply. It seems to be a serious one. Paranthropus boisei, one of the robustest humans specialized in eating nuts and hard items with their extremely strong jaws. I may be wrong, it's been a semester since Anthropological Biology edit. The robustest humans went extinct and are not our direct ancestors. There you go. So quick little shout out to this person here. And let's put that at the 40 minute mark for our timestamp. Amazing. Righty-o. Minutes. I was about to say, it's approximately 40 seconds. It's like, no. It's 40 minutes in roughly. So... Salyothrampus, I'm saying that wrong, but it is that, you know, Metal Gear from Metal Gear Solid 5. I love these subtle little hints. Again, you know, I remember people talking about, I think it was the Kind of Funny folks talking about the direction, just the direction, just the feeling, the camera, the camera work on the third trailer, totally putting them in mind of Metal Gear Solid 5. And you know, we can see just in the way things are filmed, that sort of shaky style, and even the looks of some of, again, Yoji Shinkawa's aesthetics and wardrobe and all his design work is so evident and so palpable there in both Death Stranding and MGS5. But this particular connective tissue between these two, and I just love that this little hint of just like, again, it could be completely inconsequential, or as I've sort of previously speculated upon, that the chirals could be like us but not us. That is what this could possibly be referring to, that they, the death self, as I remember discussing on an earlier entry. So I wonder if, again, these might be like long lost reality ancestors of some weird kind, where we're linked, they're linked to us, but they are not us. And I would be very interested to see, I will be very interested to see why these humanoid shapes, like, again, I, with Star Trek, with Star Wars, it's always fun to see what people's excuses are for, like, oh, this is just a human, like, why are things humanoid? We have an entire infinity verse of organisms and categories of life and different shapes and sizes, and why do we keep running into these humanoids? So especially with the, you know, medium of games, where you're unanchored from you know things that have to be dealt with on sets or practically designed with people, like the concerns of putting things on a set, you know, you're not worried about that with games, and you can just go basically as crazy as you like, you know, with complete freedom. So I'm really interested to see why the Kyles are humanoid, and I believe genuinely that it is because they are, as this sort of skull alludes to, and as the really awesome reply you know, from Nekodoshi, which I will now reply to them and just be like, thank you for your insightful reply. Cheers. Yeah, as they're alluding to, I think it would be really interesting to see if, again, they've maybe been, again, the Kyros may be like long dormant death selves that, you know, that they have inhabited us, but because of, I keep pinning it on Bridges. It might not even be Bridges. Maybe something genuinely out of, maybe Bridges isn't a, you know, they react to the thing. They react to the shattering or the reality shattering Death Stranding event, and they're not responsible for it. We tend to pin it on them because, you know, Guillermo has, for some reason, they pinned it as a villainous thing that he's like all shifty and hiding and stuff, maybe. But it could be, who knows? Again, this is Kojima. Things can go in so many different directions. Fantastic. So I'm just going to give, so thank you so much to user MetalenaJack. Just gonna say it however I do, however it comes to say it now. Now the next one here is user Outside Life. So immediately upvoted just for sharing something. This it seems very well articulated here. Shadows with umbilical cords. So recently, a lot of people noticed that shadows that Sam tried to pass by in Trailer 4 had children attached to them via umbilical cords to see Sam and other people in non-chiral or our dimensions. And I think that that is why the older guy in Trailer 3 has thrown the baby pod away. He knew that Sam had an extinction factor that allowed him to get back to life while the child dies in Trailer 1. And that is the meaning of "give me your hand in spirit, life, flesh" phrases from the latest trailer. It means that everything and everyone is connected in all the dimensions that are going to be represented in the game. Even when people die, if they die keeping a baby pod, they are going to be stranded in death, having some of the abilities as when they were alive. So very well articulated. Thank you so much to this user for posting this here. So I'm just 42 on that timestamp there. Again, it's very important that everyone here is recognized and fully credited for their amazing contributions to this community and to this speculating around this title. Predictions, all kinds of mind meanderings and ponderings and musings. Why not? I like to get in another synonym in there. Right. So if I'm going to pull something up, he knew that Sam and the extinction factor allowed him to get back to the life while the child dies, like in the trailer. So if I'm to take this, at least I'll run with this angle for now, is that the old man, as in Pete, Patrick Claude, the actor who plays him, we've nicknamed him Pete. Just like we nicknamed the driver Pete, which was Carl Card, who I spoke with, and Bob was Patrick Claude, who's the gun guy, aka gun guy, and we call him Bob because he's like a bobbing apple upside down. You know, if our dumb kind of in jokey kind of references flew over your head, I just explained them, which makes them all the lamer. Okay, so my take on this is yes, I could see, you know, part of the whole story being that Sam is the sort of person, like he's entrusted. He, at one point, maybe he discovers this fact that like he can keep things alive, and he's entrusted with a child because he knows that he can keep it alive, and that Dooms may eat away at you and maybe have a, it seems to be having a pretty negative effect on his physiology. But maybe if one of the side effects is that you can keep this child safe, and maybe children are very, very valuable, and that's also why he's like, well, it's going to be wasted on me. I'm about to be devoured, so you take care of this thing, especially because you'll survive the blast, meaning you can protect the child. So that is interesting. And then also this puts me in mind of the idea of how the user outside life says that sort of everything is connected. I could see things being like resources. You can again, we don't want to extrapolate too much because it was a cinematic essentially, but and we can't just be like, well, this cinematic that's centered around this thing means we'll be encountering CDT teams. It's maybe not necessarily, maybe mostly solitary, but it gives the idea that at least it introduces the idea that there is this connection between like the children and or the single child. I believe it's been confirmed that it is just one child in that baby pod. And the people around you and what their relationship with it and you will be, and Sam's relationship with the child in particular. So it's really interesting just to ponder about all these dynamics that await us and await to be revealed in the eventual title when we get our hands on it and get to play it in September 2019. That's my prediction. Thank you so much to User Outside Life for that really awesome little tidbit there. Okie dokie. Too easy. You know what? I'll take a chance on this one here. User Thawan Lopes, so Thawan Lopes. A question more about this subreddit than the game itself. I want to know from you people, what are your favorite games besides Kojima's titles? Seems are unrelated to the sub, but I can only ask this here. I guess we all love Kojima's storytelling and game design skills. I play a lot. It's not like I'm asking for titles to play, though I may get to know a few gems from you. Or content related, but rather really curious about your taste. So they say Bloodborne. Bloodborne would have been pretty soon out of my, I would have recommended that pretty soon. I would have been out of the gate very quickly, you know, the Bloodborne. But if I were to say, personally, I mean, God of War is huge for me. Uncharted 4 was revelatory in terms of what we're able to technically achieve in terms of performances and acting and also aesthetics as well. So really worthwhile. But what do I play more often? I don't, again, something I've touched on, I don't want to kind of harp on it ad nauseam, but I don't play games as often as, you know, as I just don't habitually play them. I sort of engage with it more as sort of an art form, and just the community, the industry, everything, developments, things being pioneered, just general activity around the art form itself. And obviously the most profound way that you can engage with it is by, you know, doing as the art form is intended, which is to be, you know, participated in and interactive. And I wouldn't be much of interactive artistry if I didn't interact with this artistry. So I do. I mean, I love Oddworld. Oddworld can surprise you. It's, as I like to call it, you know, it's a Lorne Lanning's take on, I remember him saying that it was like his take on what Disney accomplished, what The Simpsons accomplished, mixed with a bit of Pink Floyd's The Wall, and with a crap ton of subversive and a lot of social commentary, socio-political commentary veiled in really interesting and sometimes funny, literally, like there's like fart comedy in Oddworld. But I've always found there to be this deeper aspect to those titles, and there's this playfulness but mixed with this hideousness and this and also cuteness as well. They were able to fuse, it's such a unique universe. So I would definitely recommend diving into Oddworld. Start with most accessible now is probably New and Tasty. Soulstorm should be coming out later this year. Then for me, roll your eyes as you may, everyone, go right ahead, but this is just me. The Last Guardian is my all-time cherished kindred work of any form of creativity ever. I say God of War is my favorite interactive medium title, yes, followed extremely closely by Breath of the Wild there, which I would also recommend. But yeah, across all boards, I know it's like, oh, that's semantic, just creating another category for it, but that's how I feel about The Last Guardian. For sure. So that's and then yes, then you have the Order 1886, which is right behind The Last Guardian in the same way that Breath of the Wild is right behind God of War in terms of games. But the achievement of the Order with a brand new IP, with people from, a handheld device going as far as like saying, drawing a line in the sand and saying, we're going to develop like technology to simulate the human sclera and like the image deformation and chromatic aberration and all that stuff. So absolutely. So for me, it's really about obviously the whole package there. I would say my natural leanings with games tend to be towards I would say photoreal is mostly. I would probably, I mean, again, Oddworld isn't necessarily photoreal, so maybe that's not it. It's more to do with the concentrated artistry in every facet that elevates it to something that transcends its medium and its genre. So for me, that's things like Last Guardian, Uncharted, God of War, Horizon Zero Dawn, absolutely. And we have to get a fifth one there because my favorite number is five, so I can't just leave it with four. I mean, I said again, see, that's why I had to renege a bit on the photoreal thing with Breath of the Wild, but which, by the way, they're wondering why I'm talking about it on a Death Stranding show. It's going to, it's, I believe firmly that Breath of the Wild is a non-directly cited but very evident influence on Death Stranding, and I think we're going to see more and more of that for sure. What's a fifth one? I'm going to go God of War, Uncharted, Horizon Zero Dawn, The Last Guardian, and The Order. There you go. There's your five there. Terrific. So thank you for that one there, user Thawan Lopez. Terrific. Lovely. Oh, Senpai noticed me today. What a time to be alive. And someone just made a very cute My Neighbor Totoro little tribute there. Very nice. So I'll just quickly put here. So 51. Actually, let's put 52. To user Mr. underscore nobody zero. So stop that. You're not nobody. This is fantastic. I love this art. Really beautiful. And gotta love the whole senpai notice me thing. It's always funny to check. All right. Fuck, this is great. Yeah, there you go. I'd already broken the swear jar thing. But user TTA 2013 chiming in again. Thank you so much, by the way. Sorry, that was a notification sound. I'm so sorry. I like to mute my device. I'm so sorry. Kojima Pro Twitter, Twin Peaks The Return, parts 1 and 3 screened for the production team. Yeah. I'm gonna settle in and read some of these here. This is fantastic. Okay, so putting this at 50, let's put 53 and 40 seconds here. Rightio. So, first let's go to the tweet itself. This is amazing, and I love this so much. Great way to kick off the week at the studio with the first three episodes of Twin Peaks: The Return and all new awesome cap for staff members. Terrific. Oh, that is a nice screening room. This is amazing. Look at that. I wonder if that's legit Kojima Productions, like legit screening room. Wow. I love that they have a screening room. That's magnificent. It very much looks like a classroom though. Interesting. Come on, Albert, I've downloaded the rest. And this is just me talking to myself. I need to watch the rest. Goodness me, I need to do that. Lovely. In honor of this reoccurrence of Lynch, I'm going to put Lynch somewhere in the title of this episode for sure. Here we go. So, Deadwaken, number one comment, 21 upvotes. If Death Stranding is going to be the equivalent of Twin Peaks: The Return was to television to video games, then boys, I'm already too hyped. I happen to agree. My friend, I'm not going to dive too far into the comments. That was actually a mini risk there that I run because I have not seen the finale. I'm going to take this double, probably triple by the end of this episode, by the end of this entry. Yeah, I'm going to see it again, and it's going to at least cross my mind again. I need to. It's a self reminder. It's a sign. This entry here, this week's Death Stranding weekly is most assuredly a sign that I need to jump back in. Finish those last three episodes of season three of Twin Peaks. Okay, lovely. Here we go. Thank you so much to user TTA 2013 again. Double appearance on this entry. User Blader Coyote. Blader Koyote. Attention to detail. Sam's shoulders are injured because of the heavy packages he's carrying. I just love these little, you know, you can't obviously extrapolate too much from them, again, but then again, you know, I tend to, that varies widely. I say it as a baseline, but I can see myself going, especially because I myself really enjoy those long, long walks, which I went on a bunch of bike rides recently. It's pretty cold here in Canberra, so you better believe that occasionally I had, you know, Asylums for the Feeling going. I didn't have it playing, it was just going through my head. So yeah, I know very much the rigors of when, you know, you've been carrying a backpack or something for a certain amount of time. It's crazy. So, but yeah, again, really, really appreciate the attention to detail. This is, I still believe that we still haven't seen, you know, the final level of detail. Again, remember, listeners, watchers, everyone tuning in, when we first saw God of War, it was, again, mind-blowing. 2016, that trailer was something very, very special. However, and this was the PlayStation Experience in 2016, so not E3. However, although was it E3? I can't remember. Any hoobs. I remember seeing the Kratos, and sorry about the sniffles, it's a bit cold here in Canberra, my bad. I remember seeing Kratos and just seeing like his freaking, you could see on these like high definition trailers, you saw like the micro, you saw his like his beard stubble, you saw his scalp stubble, you saw all this and his beard moving and everything. I was like, it cannot, I was like legitimately to myself, I was like, it cannot get better than this. This is a new level of photorealism and everything. And look at any comparison shots between the 2016 and the 2018 final version of God of War. It's, they managed to like deepen the lines of his face and everything, and you get so much more emotion. It was so much more realistic, and very much I think the same thing is going to happen with Death Stranding. We see now, this is the 2016, so to speak, vision of what we've seen of the characters of Death Stranding. We're going to see, it's going to get, it's, I really honestly believe that we're going to see an even higher level of detail. It's going to be, yeah, wow. And also, it just occurred to me, we're just under 2 weeks from Gamescom. I don't know if anything's planned for Gamescom. We'll see. I could talk a little bit about it. I'm actually, on Sunday, going to be speaking with Carlos from SharePlayer One. We're going to talk about Gamescom more in detail on that show. And I'll make sure to include a bit of a... It won't be... It'll just be on the main show, Interactive Artistry. However, I'll make sure to kind of... create a little space in that entry for a bit of riffing on what Death Stranding things we may see. Although, again, I haven't heard much buzz, but we'll see how we go. So thank you so much to user Blader Coyote. Have I credited you? Oh, I'm so OCD. Yes, that's it. Fantastic. Thank you so much. Terrific. Here we go. Da-da-da-da. Ah, this is great. And I'm just going to quickly shout them out because it's, believe it, we believe me, we all feel it. Goes back to the Jeff Keighley, you know, the post about the corridor and like, oh, if these walls could talk kind of thing. So they say, user Dan Pachi, DanPachi, those lucky few. Does anyone else get chest pains just knowing there are people privileged enough to have worked on this game, know what it's really about, and how it ends, and how it all plays out? And they're just casually browsing the sub like the rest of us. Very kindred, believe me. It's crossed my mind a few times. Actually, to be honest, until this comment, I hadn't properly considered that, like, Kojima Productions people were, you know, checking out the Reddit. I don't know. It's that's not my place to see whatever becomes of their participation in us. We certainly participate in what they're creating, but communities have been known to be recognized by even unofficial communities. I remember that. Recently, I saw the Sony, just the Sony Reddit, which is again assembled unofficially, get actually shouted out by the Sony. It, like, they were congratulated, like, thank you for reaching, or as in congratulations for reaching a million subs or something. And it was the proper, actual, you know, official PlayStation account, Twitter account, shouting out this sort of community assembled hub, right? Which is so. Who knows what will happen, but it's interesting to see. There is obviously a pretty thick dividing line between the Kojima and even though obviously on the Twitter there's so much retweeting going on with the artist, that's so fantastic. That engagement is so great. There's nothing been that I've seen or heard of really of people jumping in and asking for feedback. That's not their style. It's the style of a few other studios of just like, we are interested in your feedback and such at the moment. It's very much, and again, I think most of us, if not all of us, are very happy to just put our hands up and say, look, your OVO speaks for itself. You're setting a fire under your ass, like to just not sit on your laurels. That sort of is in your atoms and in your blood. Like we trust that. That speaks for itself. Go and do you. We trust you. So, but yeah, it's very interesting. It's very interesting to ponder that that they're just there, just beyond the veil, almost like Chiralium density increasing. Like they are. Yeah, they're there. They're around us. And who knows if there's any kind of melding that'll happen down the line just because of that close proximity that the internet affords us, you know. We're all right within earshot, or right within a couple of pixels of each other across the webs, for sure, interwebs. Da-da-da-da-da, okie dokie, let's have a look. Oh, random stuff. This is Kojima mentioning Mission Impossible Fallout, seeing it the second time. Listeners, I'll just throw this out there really quickly, but I'm going to go see it, and I hadn't planned to. Again, when I speak about works that like really resonate with me, it's the ones, and it's not like an elitist thing of like, I only engage with things that like transcend their genre. It's not, I honestly watch Tim and Eric, Aqua Teen Hunger Force. I'm into all sorts of, even though I would personally argue that both of those had enough qualities of them to transcend their genre respectively and make their way into, I won't press the point too much, but I think that those are respectively the pinnacles of, you know, non sequitur live action and non sequitur stream of consciousness, free association, animation. Love them so much, and I think they were each influential in their own way. But here's the thing. I heard the first scuttlebutt from Mission Impossible Fallout, and it reminded me, honestly, listeners, it reminded me of Casino Royale, that the way people were talking about the way this film has been made. And I simply have to. I have to check this thing out. I have to honor what I'm hearing from people about this thing that I had zero interest, really, honestly, in checking out previously. But yeah, that is now officially happening. I'm going to go watch it. It's going to be on Friday. We're going to go to a lovely dinner, the missus and I. It's going to be a fun time. And yeah, also shout out to Henry Cavill, who is considering, or not considering, but said he would be open to playing Geralt in the Witcher Netflix series. So I figured I'd shout that mofo out. And Henry Cavill announced for Death Stranding. Who knows? Maybe one day. But we'll see. Vera Farmiga announced for Death Stranding. I just, in my mind's eye, I can honestly see so many people appearing in it. And because again, okay, listeners and people tuning in, watching, I will mention it for the last time. Why Death Stranding has this special place within interactive artistry, honestly, and why it has that weekly designation, why I visit it the most often, is because it is the title that epitomizes my relationship with this medium, why I believe it's worthwhile, why I believe it is the future of art and like the culmination of what art is and creativity is, because it is so in alignment with what life is, you know. It has that the most profound connection, and I really think, and I haven't obviously spoken with Kojima before, but I know that on some level, with his sort of manifesto about Homo Ludens, you know, moving from sapiens to Ludens, to the ones who play, to get folks who would, like previously, honestly, games associated with time wasting, distraction, competition, recreation, to launch into that spiel and say, look, honestly, if you'd like, that's why I say, look, I don't kid when I say that Kojima honestly could get anyone involved. David Lynch, there's your third mention, it's going in the title. David Lynch, David Cronenberg, Lea Seydoux, Lindsay Wagner, Mads Mikkelsen, with that angle of saying, look, we aren't just putting something out there just to have your face, like, and no discredit to Jean Renoir, love the guy, love the professional, but when he appeared in Onimusha, for example, Onimusha 3, over a decade ago, I think it was by now, honestly, I think, it was clear that at that time it was just like, oh, it's Jean Renoir's in this game, and that was kind of it. It was sort of still a sort of slasher kind of game. Again, not taking away from anyone who enjoys those titles, but when we're talking about something like an endeavor like and a project and an ambition like Death Stranding, where you're trying to leverage this powerful, like life-echoing medium into expressing something brand new in the field of art and creativity, the most worthwhile of artists, boom, their ears are perked up. And it opens a gateway, which I really feel like Kojima has been leveraging that and tapping into that to pique the interest of these parties outside of the medium. And that's also what it represents strongly for me. And it's right there on the screen. You can see who through this premise of wanting to redefine and do something completely unique and really immerse into just like the quintessence of what art is and what interaction is and what life is and what Death Stranding represents, that's the most kindred thing to me with in terms of my relationship with the medium, where I see it, what not where I see it going so much as what I see it have it as being, what I see it being, what I see it as having always been the fate and the true purpose of games since the very beginning. We had very immature beginnings, but I honestly think like that because of how tied in we are to technology. You know, like again, things have become gamified. You know, fitness apps, the whole concept of apps itself has so many game-like aspects, and it's really, you know, games have become so infused, a gaming culture, gaming terminology have become so infused with modern culture and technology, you know. So there's so much more at work. That's why I suppose when I hear these, like, you know, Death Stranding uses the terminology of explosions. You know, the third explosion, the fourth explosion, an explosion that will be our last. I see Death Stranding as being in like the very, like representing the very core. And you know, this concept of leveraging this medium to tap into like the actual very essence of what it means to be human, what it means to have this gift that we've reached, all the different species given different gifts when they were created. You know, birds can fly, fish can swim, and humans can imagine. We leverage that. We're really communing with that most profound aspect, as in life itself, interactive. You know, we are actively participating in our own art and in our own ability to imagine. That's what games are. That's what the format of it is. So big, kind of possibly, no, probably a little bit over long and overwrought way of saying that he is able to illustrate for people outside of the medium just how be all end all the prospect of growing this medium is, and has the potential to be, and has, I believe, the destiny to be, when undertaking something like Death Stranding. Yeah, without a doubt. Gosh, my word. Apologies there for a little bit of a tangent, listeners, but it's extremely, extremely core to like why I feel as though I'm on the planet. Is this is witnessing this medium, chronicling it, cataloging it, engaging with it in this way, and seeing what it's capable of far beyond what we see now in the landscape of games and the industry of games. It's folks like Kojima and even James Cameron, like they have their eyes so fixed so far in the future, where, you know, Kojima's even speculated about games and films coming together and melding together. Like that's the realm, that's the horizon that both Kojima and James Cameron are sort of scanning, and are on that same plane of just like looking far beyond where things are currently now. And that's a little mini teaser of which I'm now just going to outright say, even though we're many years out from it. I respect and resonate with Mr. Cameron a lot with Avatar. I believe in many ways it represents a be-all end-all kind of fusion of myth and storytelling and world building, which, you know, yeah, so needless to say, I'm just gonna say it here, as we ramp up towards the 2020 when that title's gonna be coming out. I don't know if Death Stranding is coming out in 2020. I really think it's gonna be 2019. I hope it is, but very shortly I'll be rolling out Avatar coverage, leading into the next, what will certainly be the next gen title from the Massive folks over at Massive, which is the team who developed The Division. Ubisoft, gonna be discussing that title there, but also just Avatar in general. With gonna be diving into exactly this, what is really pushing the boundaries of the art form and human creativity and human ingenuity and pioneering and all this. And I've seen them together. I remember taking that. I just Googled it. I'm going to do the same with Lynch to see if they've ever met. I did it once for Bowie. I was like, and I think there was a Whirlpool forum or something of had Bowie and Kojima ever met. I hope they had, but be these people that are really just again visionaries, you know, people who are present right now in our reality, but with their eyes and their gazes so fixed on such a distant and yet so real, fast and to them fast approaching, but like sure as sure as anything horizon, that they live in that reality simultaneously as our own. They live in that future reality of where things are heading. Glassesless 3D, all these things. So anyway, little mini tangent within a tangent, and just to give you guys a little preview of what's to come with that. So that's rolling out next month. Too easy, fantastic. Okay, so as we cross into the 109, let us jump into a few more theories before cracking on with the rest of our week. Here we go. So from user SP00C3, thoughts on the plot. Here we go. I'm not sure if someone else has said this before. It seems to me that this black tar-like substance we see frequently may be the spirit or other dimensional being, for lack of a better term, of the collective life force of the planet turned into fossil fuels, which may have been exhausted in this game. I'm not really sure where to go with it from there, but it's just an idea. Here we go. So, for me, very simply, death becoming life, or death becoming energy rather, is something that I think we're going to see in Death Stranding. I remember seeing for the first time The Matrix, and I saw that child, you know, in that beautiful, unforgettable monologue, that Morpheus is illuminating Neo with the world and just sort of unveiling to him what's really been happening outside of the Matrix and just telling him about the real world. You see that child immersed in that sort of, basically from birth being plugged into all those cords and everything. And I might even post that just as a space for discussion, or as a catalyst for discussion about potential connective tissue there. But we do see an infant. We see it plugged in with all sorts of cords, and it's got that blackish kind of, like any amniotic, whatever kind of fluid that is, that sort of stasis fluid that you're immersed in this universe of the Matrix, to make it feel as though you're in this different reality. And what basically, there's a line there that says like they spent us like batteries, and we became like fuel to them. So like our slow death became their life. So again, I could see like that sort of black goo, essentially being almost like maybe like a parasite that they need to kind of create. They need to maybe live in this substance, you know. Maybe there are certain kind of organism that require, that's like, you see those grasping bodies and everything. I could see it being that they that's like a side effect of them feeding on us, and that it's also something that they need to survive. Like it's this liquid stuff that seeps from their bodies, but they also need it as like an ecosystem thing, you know. Very, very interesting to consider. So thank you so much to user SP00C3. Now let's try this. I'm going to try and drink some water away from the microphone so that you don't get yucky water sounds. So one second, please. Okay. And back to hiking across Iceland with you all. Make sure you don't let your little hoverbots lag too far behind, because we still have a little while to go before we reach that next ledge and set up camp until next week. Here we go. So guys, Kojima has started a new ARG for Death Stranding in Florida. So this is potentially, and very much like, it's a joke post, but it's still fun. So user triple U Mosquito, with a mosquito without the S, Manu with 4 U's. So quickly give you a shout out just for like for appearing on the show. So that's 1 hour and 13. Here we go. We'll try and lock it into the 1 hour and 30, folks. Lovely. Let's keep diving in. So 2 days ago, weird placeholder release date on Amazon. Gonna shout you out, City Haven. However, it's very well known that you know, those are just placeholders. It's I'd be very surprised if you know, if we saw anything that actually genuinely came out of that. So, as in, you know, when these things are announced, it's I think there was a it wasn't just Death Stranding. There was a couple of titles that got like a temporary release date recently on Amazon. But again, it's always nice to dream 29th of March 2030. That's funny. Righty, oh, let's keep cracking on. Righty-o. Now it's occurred to me that I had made a promise a while ago for a listener to feature their theory. Now here we go. Now I really hope that I am able to find them, because I do not want to miss out. It is so, it's sometimes pretty tough to kind of keep track of their comment, because I said that they're I'd feature them, because it took me a while. Oh my goodness, here we go. Righty, I'm gonna give it, listeners, sorry for meandering, I apologize. Let me quickly see if I can find it. If I can't, that's fine. And you who are tuning in, I hope you are, but if you are, please do hit me up one more time. I promise, only one more time. I will put it in my actual notes, and I will, just because this person is very kindly, it was in the 31st entry, I believe, where a bunch of editing stuff went wrong, and their theory, sadly, I discussed it, but the recording got sort of muffled up and messed up, and sadly, I wasn't able to recover it. So please, if you could jump back in and yeah, just hit me up directly, and I will make sure to discuss your theories, because they were very worthwhile. Wait a second, here we go. I found it. Listeners, this is what is called like just luck. I was very lucky. Here we go. So this is from The Chad. There you go, if you're listening, my friend. The Chad of 2018. Okay, so this is me just revisiting. Is a dude, where was my mention? My editor broke down on the last one, had to cut almost an hour and a half, fixed it. This theory, right? Got you, friend. Gonna riff on it on your fourth wall theory as well. So I'm gonna reply once again, 33rd. I'm gonna put 1 and 17 for the timestamp. Here we go, and here we go, and here we go. So this is from a long awaited Mr. Chad, I'll just call you. Thank you so much for your patience. Here we go. My alternate dooms theory. And we'll close on this one. So I had you a little bit there. If Chad was listening, maybe starting to write the angry email. Rest assured, here we go. And this will close us off until next week. Here we go. My alternate dooms theory. I've been reading most of the theories on this sub, and it looks like most theories going on dooms are that it is some sort of condition or disease that Sam and Leia have. I've been thinking about what these characters say at the start of Trailer 4, and it got me thinking about an alternate theory. What if dooms was simply a way of describing how advanced a character is in their job? My thinking is that dooms could stand for delivery of organic material status. Damn, that's good. Yeah, that's how realizing that he wasn't just he, she, or they was not just like super incongruously just self-congratulating themselves. So they continue. I've put each line below and given my thoughts as to what each line means based on this theory. So this is from Leia Sidhu. It's a, so you have dooms like me. The commenter says, or Chad says, in other words, they both make deliveries in the world of Death Stranding. What's your level? What items, and it translates to, what items or responsibility level do you have in terms of what items you're allowed to deliver? As in permission levels. And I have a friend of mine, I won't mention their name, but they are, yeah, they've been a courier for like high security items. So they've had to like get certain like levels of security. It's a very real thing. You know, you need to be a certain level of clearance to carry certain items, you know, and correspondence. I've got the extinction factor, Sam says, and Chad's interpretation is Sam can only carry dead items, corpses, etc. This would make sense, as many of the boxes we see him carry look very similar to the boxes you see in our world for carrying organs, etc. And so then he says, but I think you've got me beat. He can tell by looking at Leia that she works for a more advanced company, has a more advanced outfit. Her level might mean she can deliver items that are still not quite dead and therefore need much more careful handling, hence handled with love. So the black strands, we see during the gameplay will signal when something has died. These are markers that Sam can get to collect dead items for him to take on his journey to wherever they need to be delivered. Just my thoughts while we wait for more clues. This was posted 14 days ago, 2 weeks ago. Chad, I got you, my friend. Let's go. Okay, so first of all, user Phumaltopia, Phumaltopia. Wow, this is a pretty valid theory. I like it, and I love it too. Here we go. A lot of beautiful commentary here, which I think I'll cite a little bit of because it's just really worthwhile here. So 1 in 20. Here we go. And yeah, let's slide on into this lovely little couch of riffing about this, because it's really a particular theory. I'll finish a sentence before starting a new one. Let's do that. Let's get cozy with this one here. So let's settle into our couches. So let's go. Right off the bat, let's see. So the Chad is replying to one. So no_flex says, so literally those are death strands, hence the name, and the actual strands coming from the words in the title. Very good. The Chad says, I think so. There are also white strands in trailer 4. Another Redditor argued it's just lens flare, but I disagree. I reckon these signals where something is still alive, but you need to have the correct dooms level to be able to collect them. This is so salient, yo. It is so... This is just me to you, everyone listening and tuning in, watching, listeners and watchers and people here with me. This is me just... Okay. It's called Death Stranding. I think if we were to get... Again, let's run with this theory. Let's run with if it's a customization thing, you know, and let's just really think about it. It's an open world. It will likely allow us to be able to, again, explore and collect all sorts of things. Dooms level. Dooms, it still feels, at least in their delivery, to be something that it feels like it's tied into his condition and his ability to survive. However, let's run with it. You know what? I'm gonna throw it to Chad on this one. Yep, I think I agree. I was a little bit on the fence there about whether or not we could see something where, you know, we're like leveling up in that way of like, you know, within a ranking system of you know, what certain employees are able to do, and, you know, shifting employers, actually, as we see him in Porter gear and then Bridges gear as well with the CDT corpse disposal team. So, but yeah, this is me hemming and hawing a bit, but needless to say, I think I agree. I really do. This is really, really cool. From Leifa Nelf says, surprisingly good and original new idea. The Chad says, thanks for the kind comments. One thing I forgot to mention is that I think further validates this theory is when Leia asks Sam, wanna come work for me? She's basically offering him a promotion, but Sam's blue collar background results in him turning down the offer. I make deliveries. That's all. Almost indicating he feels he isn't worthy, or his dooms level is not high enough to work for her. But also we see this in like people who they may be in a certain state with themselves, and they're like mental health or depression or whatever. Like, you know, the enemy of depression is change, because depression feeds off of homogeneity, like the same thing over and over, the same beliefs stewing. Literally, that's why imagery wise, depression conjures like a mire, something that is stagnant and stale. Depression like requires stasis, and it requires being unchallenged. Because when challenged and questioned, depression disappears. When you inquire and you go there and you don't let it overpower you, it dissipates, because its power is in the menace it exudes from being unchallenged. You go there, just like the dark, you need to be brave, go there, reach your hand out, there's nothing there. You go and be commune with it, and you're right there. You're immersed in a new reality. However, as we see him now, he is very reluctant, at least it seems, to experience a new reality, to experience a new take on his circumstances. Maybe, again, sometimes we torture ourselves with guilt. Depression, it might be, again, this great previously mentioned theory about how, like, when going through the chronology of everything we've seen, that there may be some... there's some speculation of Sam feeling guilt over the deaths of the CDT team. But you know what? I think... Yeah, like, again, that's just where Sam is at the time. So, but for Ark's sake, and for I know why he chose Norman's sake, because we see, obviously, in closest thing I can connect to through Norman's performances, at least, is Walking Dead, and he does have an arc there. I would love to see Norman experience this arc of reaching outside of a state of stasis, or a stagnating state, maybe depression or sadness, or you know, hiding from the world, whatever's prompting this kind of thing of whether or not, again, this is all just riffing on speculation, but say for the sake of this riff that we're kind of using the awesome Chad's post to sort of explore, if there was this aspect of wanting to stay safe, stay blue collar, stay unseen, I think it's going to be him stepping outside of his blue collar. He'll be introduced as that, he'll be known as that, he'll have that blue collar attitude, but in all like Joseph Campbellian, you know, monomyth stuff, like there has to be an inciting incident, a crossing of the threshold into a new world, something that shocks his world into growth. And I think Leia could definitely be that shock, I think. You know, that it's interesting. Little mini note, probably zero consequence. I just mentioned Joseph Campbell. Joseph Campbell, in many ways synonymous with Star Wars, the monomyth. Leia was Luke's inciting incident, that he was just living his sort of humdrum life. Leia came into his life, and then his entire life changed. Leia Seydoux, again, just total coincidence. It could be that Leia Seydoux is the thing that takes him outside of just being a blue-collar worker there. So, but one more thing I'll just sort of riff into with what we could be seeing, both plot-wise and gameplay-wise, with what Chad is proposing here. I would love that personally. You know, it's funny, like I've done government work myself, and it's actually translated. I don't think this is like a defeat admitting thing or something, but I will say part of me, having done all this sort of kind of data stuff that I do, I deal mostly in data, I have become appreciative of like meditative tasks, meditative admin tasks. So if we do see something where we're getting, like we have a progression system of being able to access higher and higher levels of clients, I think we're in for a much wider spanning adventure than just being like a Bridges employee. But for whatever it's worth, if we're able to maybe like, just like in Final Fantasy 15, you're able to return to a certain time or return to a certain reality where you're just before the world went to crap, which is you can do that in Final Fantasy mini spoilers, but it's not that crazy. But you can revisit a time before things were bad. I wonder if in an alternate reality way we can revisit it and build our sort of Bridges profile, and if we're able to kind of get a, you know, experience what it is to get higher and higher Doom's clearance levels. That would be kind of cool. I'd really relish that, actually. So I know I sort of was a bit on the fence there, just really considering it, but this is extremely well thought through, very evocative, a very special theory. So not at all overcompensating there. I was joking just then. I like, that's a disservice to Chad's thing if I was just overblowing his theory because I left it off for 14 days. Not at all. Listeners, people tuning in, watching, you know that like this is just really interesting. This is what I like to call like a mind bug, a mind worm. It just sort of sticks. It'll be something that I'll return to when I'm just on the bus randomly. I'll just be thinking, that's a really intriguing prospect of something where we're led again. It's very Kojima to have something. It's alluded to. We see the imagery of him in the shower, his like toes falling off, and is talking about dooms. Even the word dooms puts one in mind of something where, you know, cancer, we associate it with dooming you, like you're doomed with cancer. And to flip that around and be something like, yeah, the delivery, that's an amazing acronym. I'll say it one more time. It is delivery of organic material status. So that is extremely imaginative, and I want to just sort of, again, give this zero preferential treatment because it was this sort of theory that I hadn't had the chance to get to for 14 days. It is honestly like my favorite theory that I've discussed today. It's truly special. So very, very interesting to see what we could see in terms of subverting expectations from Kojima centered around dooms. So there we have it, listeners. That is, and listeners, people watching, everyone, again, I have this thing of wanting to cover all my bases because everyone could either be watching, listening, etc. That is Death Stranding Weekly, the 33rd entry. I hope this has found you all well, and I wanted to thank everyone who chimed in with their amazing contributions to the community. I just had to, again, outline that one more time. before cracking on. And so yeah, that wraps everything up for this entry. If you did enjoy this or anything from Interactive Artistry, feel free to like and share and subscribe, or even head over to patreon.com/interactiveartistry and become one of the Patreon saints, as I call them, who are actually allowing Interactive Artistry to exist and grow. So again, I can't express my thanks enough. And something that I don't do, which I will try and do a bit more often, is to actually, I'm going to jump in it right now because I feature the splash at the end of the show, but I do want to just occasionally just jump in and just sort of talk to them, and so as an address and give my actual thanks. So Yusha on the executive producer tier, Yusha, thank you so much. Philip Campana on the executive producer tier, 15 a month, thank you so much. You two are the execs. Can't wait to have you on the August again. I figured I'd mention it here. I'm going to do an IA daily for it later, but the August annual, first annual August Patreon catch up. So if you wanted to be a part of that, make sure any Patreon tier, you're going to be on that gigantic Skype call slash Google Hangout, however we figure out to be 31st of August. If you want to jump on that and just riff things with everyone, all the Patreon saints there, all the like-minded folks who have tuned into Interactive Artistry and Death Stranding weekly and all that. So that'd be really great to have you all there. So make sure to do that if you want to participate. Associate producers, $8 tier, Michael Nadace and Andrew, thank you so much to both of you. You're wonderful. Thank you. I sincerely appreciate your support, your ongoing support for sure. Remarkable benefactor tier is the $3 tier. We have Adam Prenger, who chimed in recently about Fumito Ueda. Do not worry, it is coming. I will be making that within the next week, and it'll definitely be out within the next week. The fifth Colossus there for Fumito Ueda. And to the generous souls, that's the $1 tier, to Turpal, Stephen Parker, and Eli Berg Mass. To all of you on all the tiers, thank you sincerely. Honestly, Interactive Artistry wouldn't exist or be growing without your support. And once again, to anyone who would like to again join these wonderful folks here in growing this into the most in growing yeah Interactive Artistry into the most fulfilled version of what it can be, I'd be humbled if you'd consider doing so. Thank you all so much. Have a wonderful remainder of your week, and I will catch up with you next time. Until then, bye now.